Hey guys, my name is Crystal Kenny, and I'm in love with creating. All things artistic and imagination involved. I'm an American girl who chased her creative dreams all the way to Paris, France, making a living using photography. This podcast takes you inside the stories of all the artsy folks I've met along the way and gives you that extra push to discover your creative gifts. The desire to create is deeply inside each and every one of us, and I give you the tools and inspiration to find a new way of living a more creative life. This is La Vie Creative, the podcast.
Today on the show, I interview Christina Consolet. She is a lover of all things French and lives in New York City full time, but takes every moment she can to visit the City of Light. And she recently started a group called Parisian Niche. We talk about this new fabulous group and why she loves Paris so much. So welcome to the show, Christina. I'm so happy to have you here.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Now, you have had a love affair with France for a very long time. You come here as often as life will allow you to. You are a New Yorker, but I feel like a Parisian at heart. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. As you said, my love affair with Paris began decades ago, even in middle school. I was in school and studying the French language. It was something that came very easily to me. And my teacher, who was, you know, an old-time nun, pulled me aside and showed me pictures of her time at the Sorbonne. And she said, you know, this is something you could do one day. Would it ever interest you? And I was sold. I was very singularly focused on getting there one day. I did have the dream to study at the Sorbonne. And, you know, those dreams go out of your head for some time. But then in university, I saw an ad for a program, a pilot program, to go be an au pair. And it was just the perfect timing, the perfect opportunity, the perfect budget to go live and work and study abroad. And I had the best experience.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about that, because so many people become au pairs and it's like kind of mixed experiences, but yes, you're still in contact with your family.
Absolutely. Honestly, I truly view them as my family. I realize that a lot of au pairs don't have the luck that I had. I got placed with an incredibly wonderful family. There was four children. So while it sounds overwhelming, I was able to speak English with that family. I was there to teach them English. So I always had a comfort level of being able to communicate. And it helped us to get close right off the bat. And that relationship, which is still thriving today, is a big part of my love for the city. I don't get that viewpoint that Parisians are cold or aloof. It's not at all the case. They are the warmest people. And I've found that firsthand through that au pair experience.
Now, how long have you been coming to Paris since then? Like, how many times have you been here? And I know you like to spend as much time as you can when you do arrive.
Absolutely. So, COVID aside, I would say that from I lived there from 96 to 98, and then ever since then, at least 2 to 3 times a year, typically at around a 10-day mark per trip. So if we're adding it up, it's at least another year of living there. I do try to stay all over town to get a different point of view and a different experience every time. But the amount of trips, it's impossible to count, and I'm glad for that. I'm super happy to have lost count and just keep that number close to my heart because it is my second home.
Yeah, I know so many people dream of moving here and it can be, you know, complicated, but I think you have it down just coming as often as you can and then you don't have to deal with all the visa stuff and all that, the paperwork.
Absolutely. And the more I think of it, the more I'm really intrigued and inspired by the 90-90 plan, which is where you go for up to 3 months, no visa required, go back to your homeland, fill out those 3 months there. I feel I have the best of both worlds because, you know, I have my family here, my doctors here, a core group of friends here, but I've also established that in Paris as well. And again, as you say, I don't have to worry about visa, extra taxes, permanent lodging. There's so much of the red tape that I just get to avoid and enjoy the city, and it never becomes a burden. It's just always a pleasure.
Yeah, definitely. I think people who are dreaming of moving to France should maybe consider that lifestyle instead, because like you said, it's just so much easier and, you know, less stress of trying to be here full time, like a lot of people face on a daily basis.
Absolutely.
And I want to talk a little bit more about your new group, Parisian Niche. So this is a group you just recently started. Tell listeners about this group.
Absolutely. So this group actually became born out of my book club. And the book club has been going strong for over 3 years. We're 50 books deep, which is around 20,000 pages. And became a core group of girlfriends who kept showing up month after month, whether they finished the book or not, because what happens at a book club? Everybody relaxes, they become more themselves, and we start talking about our own love for Paris, our own trips, because all of the books are centered in Paris. So from that book club came late evening talks where who's going to be in Paris, where can we meet up? As you know, you were a part of our book club while I was in Paris. And finally, some girlfriends pulled me aside and they said, you have so much good information to offer. Put your thoughts into writing, make it a love story to Paris and to yourself. And it really has become like my own journal that I get to share with a core group of friends who really understands. I never get the question, oh, you're going to Paris again from this group. They get it. They want to be involved. And quite often I ask them for information that I can put in the blog so that it can be a shared resource. I want this to be a safe space for people to understand and enjoy that Paris is for everybody. And I'm hoping that that comes across. Again, we're in our baby steps, but we're having a really nice launch.
Yeah, I think that's such a wonderful idea because people who don't love Paris just don't get it. They're like, why are you going there again? Or people who've never been here, maybe they're like, oh, I don't get it. Like, what is the big deal?
It finally came to a point with a couple of girlfriends who kept really just visibly rolling their eyes saying, oh, again, I finally turned around and said, you know what, guys, I'm actually not inviting you and I don't need you to understand my decision. I just need you to respect my passion and yeah. I'll see you after my next trip. So
you had to shut them down. Don't rain on my parade, girls.
Exact. Yeah,
people that aren't like in love with Paris just really don't get it. And they're like, why? I mean, this is probably like a topic you'd know a lot about. I mean, some people are just so attracted to France, and especially Americans, we have this interesting relationship with France. Like, from your point of view, why do you think that is?
I honestly think it's because we see so much of ourselves in France. You know, if we go back to the roots of our own history, who helped us get there? Lafayette and the French government. And a lot of our roots stem from there. A lot of our social customs and mores, you know, have their roots here. I think it's something that is also very counterintuitive to the American way, so that when we go over there, we are able and invited to slow down our own American pace, to enjoy the beauty of life, the pleasures of life, which is something that we don't encounter every day. And that antithesis is very inviting. It's very alluring.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's just been such a long affair. I mean, even for French people, whenever I talk to a French person, I'm like, oh, you know, where would you want to go in America? And they're like obsessed with New York City. They're obsessed with San Francisco. They all want to go to these places. And I feel like it's like an even exchange because a lot of Americans dream of going to Paris and it feels like unattainable sometimes.
Yes. You know what the thing is, though? It is so attainable. I think that a lot of people are overwhelmed and fearful when planning a trip. And I do cover a lot of that in my blog, in as much as even finding the time to go. There are so many forums and boards that are really discouraging because, of course, the bad news gets the good press.
Yeah.
And I really like to put forth, you know, as Jack Canfield said, everything that you want is on the other side of fear. You know, plan that trip, take the moment and do it for yourself.
Yeah, because I think there's a lot of like naysayers out there that are just like, oh, you know, it's dangerous or it's expensive or whatever. But there's like so many groups, like you said, you don't just have to pick up Rick Steves' book anymore. Like you could go on these Facebook groups, you can go on your group, and there's so much valuable information that makes it much easier to do anything.
Absolutely. And the one thing I will say, and it's to take nothing away from any group, is again, people are more often going to comment on their negative experiences than their positives. And I really encourage people to look past the noise and to find their own good experiences. And it's a lot of why I created Parisian Niche. In the beginning, I was incredibly nervous that, you know, my voice would be lost among thousands of Paris blogs. And it occurred to me that nobody can see Paris through my eyes but me, just like those other blogs. And it becomes a unique sharing experience, much like Rick Steves has his and all these forums. But as you're reading these things, and even mine, get past what others are saying and really engage and get that experience for yourself. Plan it for yourself. And don't listen to anybody who's going to say, for instance, if you're checking luggage, you're doing it wrong. There's no wrong. If you know, nobody was taking baggage, they wouldn't take them at the counters. So again, get past that background noise, plan it for yourself, and it will be the most rewarding experience.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, with anything in life, there's always going to be someone to poo-poo it always. And impress their fears on you. And it's like, that's not my fear. Leave me alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how has France influenced your life? How have you changed since becoming such a regular France visitor?
Oh, so much. One thing I have learned is to really, you know, New York is a very high-rise kind of city. Everything about us, or most of the things about us, are new. In France, I'm able to really slow down my daily pace to really enjoy, say, getting lost in the city on purpose, you know, becoming a flâneuse to check out that beautiful architecture, go to the history of the building, really find out the enriching aspects of the culture. And that does translate here. I was really never a museum hopper before living in Paris, and now I can't get over to the Met and MoMA enough. It gave me a new insight into art, architecture, even cathedrals and such, that while we have them in New York, it's a whole different level in France and Europe as a whole. And it's translated here for me to be more open and exploring in the arts and culture.
I completely agree. I feel the same way about wine. I was not a wine drinker until I moved to France. I was like, that's for snobs. I didn't know anything about wine. And like, because I feel like in America, we're such like beer and cocktail people. Yeah. And wine tends to be more expensive in the States. But, you know, you can't help but being influenced when you come here.
Yeah. And one thing I would encourage, too, is as you're planning things to do, really go outside of what you think you would normally do. So, you know, I'm a big lover of the French royal courts and all of that. So naturally, I've seen Versailles and Vaux-le-Vicomte many times. And on a last trip, I had gone on an excursion to the D-Day beaches, something I would never have imagined myself doing it. I'm not a military strategist. I don't understand those assets or those ideas. And so, again, decided to sign up, and I feel like my life changed. I understood so much more about the relationship between our two countries, what actually happened in the war and those invasions, and was able to come back much more informed about both cultures, loving both a little bit more. And it's only because I went outside of what I thought I would like to do.
I like that idea, going outside of what you thought you wanted to do. You know, sometimes you surprise yourself even what you signed up for.
Absolutely.
And as someone who frequently visits, like, are there some top things that you recommend for first-time visitors or people who want to see a different side of Paris? Maybe they've been here before. What are your favorite things to do here?
My favorite thing is to go into different churches. And naturally, as much as I always love to go back to Notre Dame, of course, it's shut for the moment. This has given a really unique opportunity. Instead of just going back to that core location, I've been able to really take the time to explore other bigger little churches, places that I would never go, even going into crypts and sacristies. And it's been very enriching to do those things again that I wouldn't have done before. I've found little niches that I'm sure nobody else knows about, but they've become so dear to my heart. And then again, there are the standard things that one loves to do so that they feel like they're coming home. You know, nobody's going to be shocked to hear that my first stop when I land is to go have a hot chocolate at Angelina to decompress, let your shoulders relax a little bit before going out into the city.
Yeah, I think we all start to have our rituals when we arrive here. And maybe for first timers, they'll discover their own rituals. You know, they haven't found them yet.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of it would have to do of where you stay in town. So, for instance, somebody who's staying right across the Louvre, right across the street from the Louvre, as I typically do like to do, is going to have a very different experience from somebody staying just next to the Luxembourg Gardens or over by the Parc Monceau or any part of town. Every different quartier is its own experience and its own microculture. It's great.
Yeah, and I think that you should really do that research maybe through your group or wherever on the internet, and just to know like what each area is like, because I think a lot of people don't really fully understand how different every arrondissement in Paris is.
Absolutely. And even within each arrondissement, there's little subsections. It's wild and it's fantastic. I love getting to know those little nooks and crannies. And without the opportunity to keep returning to that city, I might have only seen and experienced the, you know, the greatest hits, but those return trips really allow the opportunity to get out there and see and do more and to journal about it. I know we're all so dependent these days on our iPhones and our smart cameras, but you know, you go home and a lot of times you'll swipe the photos to delete and you won't save that memory. I do find that sitting alone at a cafe for an hour and journaling what you liked, what you didn't like, what you want to return to do, what that is inspiring you to do, is going to be a great asset for yourself and the best souvenir you can have.
I completely agree. Taking notes is such a great idea, and it just takes you back. Even if you don't feel like you're a writer, it's just about throwing some stuff out there and seeing what sticks.
Absolutely. And even journaling at a cafe, especially for those who are a bit bashful to sit at a cafe alone, it removes 100% of that social awkwardness because you're in your own world and Paris is just passing you by, and it relaxes you to then be able to people watch without bashfulness or timidity to really, again, enjoy that aspect of the cafe culture, the city culture. It really becomes very enriching for me personally. I highly recommend it.
And I think a lot of people don't realize how much no one cares about you being alone in this city. Like, yeah. Cities, it's kind of strange to sit alone or have dinner alone. Here, it's like, it's not strange at all to be seated alone.
You make a good point. I don't go out to dinner on my own in New York. And yet at Paris, I do it all the time.
So. Yeah, nobody cares here. It's not weird at all. And what's one habit that French people have that you wish Americans would adapt or pick up, or even a couple habits? What are some things here that you really like that they do that you wish we would do in America?
The first thing that pops into my mind is lunch, especially for those who work. So the New York culture is not really adept at taking a proper lunch break, going away from your desk. Typically, I will grab something from the kitchen and eat while I work. I wish that we could adapt that French cultural awareness that we need time to decompress, to socialize with our peers who will become our friends as well as coworkers. It is something that I feel is incredibly lacking here. And, you know, I won't say leads to a lot quicker burnout, but at the same time, I won't not say it. And I think the French vacation system is something that we could really learn a lot about. I know a lot of people joke that, oh, the entire city is shut down in August. But if the entire city is shut down, that means that everybody can disconnect and recharge and come back for the rentrée in a whole new mindset, a refreshed spirit. So I think that it's not as much a laughing matter as something that we could stop giggling at and learning from.
Definitely. I think their approach to taking some real time off is admirable, and we should do more of that ourselves. It's like we feel guilty for taking a break in the States.
Absolutely. And vacations now here have more so just become working from another spot. You know, All of my coworkers are thinking, where can I get a hotspot? I need to check my email. And it's entirely different there. Even as much as not getting emails after 6 p.m., it would be a game changer.
Yeah, I think it's really funny when jobs tell American workers, like, this is a job where you can take as much vacation as you want. And it's like, don't take any.
Exactly.
And then also when you come back from vacation, you have so much email that you can't even relax just knowing all that's waiting to unload on you.
It is so true.
And so tell me a little bit about how you define creativity. I mean, obviously you're a creative, you enjoy writing, all the French culture, museums. I mean, how would you define creativity from your point of view?
I think creativity from my point of view is something that pulls me in and makes me want to learn more. I'll give you an example. So unfortunately, due to the fire at Notre Dame, again, the doors have been shuttered for quite some time, but it inspired me to truly go take a look at the history there, find out where it came from, why it's so valuable, and I learned about its many reincarnations, and that has inspired me to be creative in my point of view, looking at other churches to find out their history. So I think that creativity on my part comes from an outside point of view that affects mine and makes me want to learn more about it. And then as such, now I can develop that and distribute it through my own words and my own point of view through my blog.
I like that. It's like all one big connected circle.
Absolutely. And I do think that creativity is a circle. And I think that nobody experiences creativity or Paris in, how can I say this? Let me pause for a second. I think that everybody experiences Paris through their own eyes, and that lends itself to the circle of creativity where then all of the aspects and avenues are researched and connected. As you said, it's a great connector of the dots.
Yeah, and I think everyone can feel a little inspired here no matter what they're into. There's something for everybody, and it's just one of those few places that didn't get destroyed during the World War II as well. So, like, there's even more to look at, more to study, and it makes it even more special in that way.
Absolutely. And I think you touch on something incredibly important. A lot of people are very into saying, oh, Paris let, you know, the armies come right in and just bang down their doors. And I view it incredibly differently. I think it was one of the smartest decisions made because they saw what was happening in other cities. They were getting leveled, Paris, because they made the decision to just say, okay, we're going to press pause here and let what's going to happen happen. They saved the vast majority of irreplaceable architecture and art.
Definitely. We wouldn't have it today if they didn't press pause.
Absolutely. And I think that while a lot of people may think that they know better and really cast their eyes down, I think it was an incredibly impressive and intelligent long-term decision, and I admire it.
And what do you think, why are creatives attracted to France today? I mean, creatives have always been attracted to France, but why do you think they're still attracted even today?
I think there's a great juxtaposition between the ancient arts and modern culture. You can be looking at a medieval arena ruin with some breakdancers in it. You could be walking through the Louvre and see a modern art expo of maybe origami. There are so many ways to move past, present, and future in tandem with each other, to see them play off each other, again, to see how they're coming full circle and moving forward. And I really do think that this blend and this mesh is what makes it so alluring. People learn from the past and they want to move forward and leave their own fingerprint. And I think that Paris enables this mentality to really flourish.
I like that because a lot of our conversation, you brought up history. And in your opinion, like, what do you think is the role of history in today's society? Why is history important to us today?
I think it is such a strong educator. I think that it is something incredibly valuable to learn from, oftentimes to emulate, many times to change and reverse. Not reverse, but again, learn from and not make those similar mistakes twice. And I think that it's important to properly teach. I feel that in France, history is taught at a much more thorough level than in the States, and I really admire that about their academic system. I do think that it is not only a key indicator, but an absolute masterclass on how to move forward.
I like that, a masterclass on how to move forward. We should coin that. Come on, France, make your masterclass.
I love it. That's the next project.
Tell the president. And what advice do you have for people who feel like they're not creative, they're not artistic? What would you say to them?
I would say that creativity might not be what you think it is. You know, not everybody's going to be making beautiful art or sculpture, writing books. I think sometimes creativity can come from seeing something, let's just take a beautiful building, and just seeing how the fluidity of that can lead to their own work project. I don't think it's as finite as something that's tangible. I think that creativity is absolutely unique. It's like a fingerprint, and not to pigeonhole yourself into thinking it can only be a piece of tangible artwork.
I love that because so many people are like, I can't paint, I can't sculpt, I don't write. So they don't think they're creative, but that's not what it's about. It's about what you just said. I completely agree.
Absolutely. I think as much creativity can go into planning a work event as planning a work of art.
I completely agree. And what's something that surprised you about starting your own French-based group? Was there something you didn't expect to come out of this group?
I think the thing that came out of it the quickest was the reception. I feel very fortunate that I had a core group of friends who was interested in Paris, but I was very surprised at how quickly the word got out. I figured I would still be at around 25 subscribers. Let's be honest, most of them my family. And it's not been the case. And I'm very comfortable growing at a very slow pace. I do want this to be very consistent. I don't want the passion level for creating the blog to peak and then disappear and then be very inconsistent with my posts and ideas. So I'm happy to be growing slow, but I was very surprised at the outpour of absolute support, camaraderie. There's been a lot more positive words than negative, and I am incredibly grateful for that. I don't expect it to last forever, but it has been incredibly encouraging in these baby steps.
Did you feel nervous to start your own group? Like, who am I to be some expert on France?
Absolutely. And I did feel that there would be some negativity because, again, many people in my group are part of other French groups. And who am I to just put my voice out there? And it was I won't say difficult to get started, but it took the gentle encouragement of several of my girlfriends saying, no, now is the time to put your words to writing. Don't just follow other people's leads. Create your own lead. And if nothing else, I hope it inspires somebody else to do so in some aspect of their life.
Yeah. Was that the main reason you were able to move past those fears? Was other people supporting you?
Absolutely. It made 100% of the difference. And ironically, the final voice on me starting my blog came from a coworker who does not know me on such a deep personal level, but had seen some of my pictures, some of my own journal entries, because I had printed them and left them on the printer. Oops. And he was really forthright and said, no, this has to be put into a longstanding template. And I think that having somebody outside of my core group give me that indicator was really the final push that said, okay, it's time. And it came together ever so quickly. I was fortunate that my best friend is very good at tech. I had other people helping me behind the scenes with a couple of tech aspects, which is my weakness. And I was able to focus on getting these foundation blocks set for how to order your coffee, how to get from the airport to Paris proper. And now I can really dig into the feminine lifestyle of Paris. I think that's something that's infinitely interesting to many people.
And isn't it funny how we have such a hard time giving ourselves permission to do what we want to do?
Absolutely. I, you know, if you had asked me even 4 months ago, 5 months ago, will you ever have a Paris blog? No. And now it's something I can't imagine not doing. I'm incredibly grateful.
Yeah, I think the key takeaway is to get out of our own way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to not let that fear be a wall or a gate. It really just push through it. And, you know, what's the worst that happens? If it doesn't work, okay, you've tried and you can move on with your life. But now things are working. And what would have happened if you didn't take that chance?
Yeah, and also how you can impact others, because you really don't know how you're impacting other people until you put your soul into it. And I think the best things come out of that when our true passion, our true happiness, we're doing it. And that's going to help other people no matter what.
Absolutely. And I'm also super encouraged by how much people want to share. So if I put on my Facebook page, okay, here's the topic we'll be speaking about in a few weeks. My goodness, the response of, oh, I love this place, avoid that place, check out this new place. Everybody is really delighted to put their point of view in. It becomes this great mixture of shared ideas that you get to, you know, it's kind of like being in the cool kid club now, where you're experiencing all these things together that everybody knows they're going to enjoy. I can't tell you the pleasure it's been. And I'm looking forward to the next steps. I mean, this is just the beginning.
Yeah, it's that exchange of positive energy, right? Like people putting all their passions together.
Perfectly said, Crystal. Perfect.
And what are you most excited about for your future work?
You know, let's be honest, getting back to Paris to get out there to see more things that I hadn't thought to look of before. I enjoy being immersed in that culture, and this is giving me the best forum to be able to, quote unquote, have to go back to Paris to experience more. So that's what I'm excited about. And also sharing with friends and getting to know people who, again, are no longer rolling their eyes. We're all in this together. We're all excited to experience this together. It's just rewarding and delicious.
I love it. I can't wait to see what you'll do next and check it out, get some information myself. I mean, people are always giving me new information. I live here for 10 years now. I'm like, okay, I didn't know that. You know, you get kind of comfortable and jaded when you're here all the time. So we need people like you with fresh eyes.
Oh, that's really kind, and I can't wait. And again, Paris is as much as it's an infinite city, it's never the same place twice. I never experience it the same way, and I just can't wait to keep on doing that.
And where can people check out the group and connect with you?
Absolutely. So we are at www.parisianniche.com, and you can search for us under Facebook at the same name, Parisian Niche. My email is chrissy@parisianniche.com, and I'm always available. And I'm looking forward to getting to know more about Paris and France and everybody else who's enjoying the ride.
Well, thanks so much for sharing with us today. And I can't wait for everyone to check out the group.
I'm excited. And I thank you again for having me. What a pleasure.
Thanks so much for tuning in to La Vie Creative. You can find more information on missparisphoto.com. And if you enjoyed this show, please feel free to share and spread the word for all my creative guests. We have the power to help them to keep doing what they love. See you next time.